97.5, The Fanatic.
What a pleasant Saturday afternoon to you and yours. Hope you're staying safe and happy and healthy. And welcome into 97.5, The Fanatic. 610-632-0975. That's the number to join the conversation, as it is each and every day. Tyler Zuli, Tom Alvord. We broadcast live from Parks Casino here in Bensalem off the Street Road exit of I-95. So if you're here, come on down, hang out with us. We'll be here for the next 3 hours as we broadcast up until 6:30. We've got the sandwich show, if you will, in between a Sixers victory and an upcoming Flyers game. 6:30 pregame with Jason Mertedis and Brian Smith. 7 o'clock puck drop for your Flyers tonight. And again, the number to join the conversation is 610-632-0975. We have a ton to get into and a little less than 3 hours to do so. So why don't we jump right into things? We're going to call this a little bit of an extended in the post today. It won't just be in the post. We've got a ton to get into. But that's where we will begin today's show. We will pick up the mantle that is usually held by Devon Givens. You just heard him on the Sixers postgame show for the Sixers Radio Network. And we will begin today with a 144-114 absolute drubbing from the Philadelphia 76ers over the Charlotte Hornets. 21 made three-pointers for the 76ers, which ties a franchise record. Most importantly, 86 points in the second half of this one alone. 86 points. And at one point, midway through the third quarter, the Sixers were shooting 17 of 20 from the field in the quarter. 85% from the field through 9 minutes of play in a quarter. What we saw today against the playoff team, mind you. Now, granted, it's not of the level of the Miami Heat or the Milwaukee Bucks or even the Chicago Bulls and Cleveland Cavaliers. The Charlotte Hornets are still a playoff team. They're going to be a play-in team. And whether they make the field of eight or not is yet to be determined. But what you saw today from the Sixers, take aside the ridiculously high shooting percentage and take aside the efficiency in which they played. We'll get to that in just a second. What you saw in the second half from the Sixers today is what we expected to see in Detroit on Thursday, and you get marred with an inexplicable loss. As Tom Alvord pointed out, I'll let him expound on that a little bit further to me and Devon while we were doing the postgame show on Thursday night. The worst loss of the season to the Detroit Pistons, a 20-win team. And yes, it's a team that scraps and claws and fights, but at the end of the day, your record is what your record is. And whether you want to say they're playing better or they were in games, the Sixers lost the game inexplicably on Thursday night to the Detroit Pistons. What you saw today from the Sixers over the Charlotte Hornets was efficiency, effectiveness, and most importantly, they made it comfortable midway through the third quarter to the point where, if you're sitting at home or you're listening to Tom McGinnis in your car and you're listening to the game call on the Fanatic, you were sitting there midway through the third quarter going, all right, I start thinking about Cleveland tomorrow. Start thinking about the ride or the flight to Cleveland and what it's going to be like to play this team for the fourth and final time this year. How you can, if the Cleveland Cavaliers lose today, clinch a playoff spot, even though you know they're going to make the playoffs, but you could, in theory, clinch a playoff spot today. You start to be able to have these, like, if you will, rocking chair type thoughts. And what I mean by that is you're on the front porch, you're in the rocking chair, everything is cool and easy and carefree because the Sixers took care of business this afternoon and made, I don't want to say they made the Detroit loss forgivable, because it's not. That will never be a forgivable loss. And Tom and I often talk about, one game does not make nor break a season. One game does not indicate to me that the Sixers are sunk, nor does a win today indicate to me that the Sixers are fine and everything is going to work out in the playoffs. But you balance these two things out, these two games, and we talk about that 1.2% all the time, and they start to tip scales back and forth in, you know, in a particular direction. What I've seen over the last 96 minutes of basketball is the Sixers at their best and at their worst. In two games, over the course of 3 days, 72 hours of real time, 96 minutes of basketball. And you have seen the Sixers over the last 3 days with an almost live-by-the-sword, die-by-the-sword mentality. And what I mean by that is not necessarily one particular aspect of their game, but what I mean by that more so is today you saw a playmaking James Harden and a rolling Joel Embiid and an incredibly efficient Tobias Harris and a strong get to the cup and make your play from there Tyrese Maxey. And when all of those things click at one time, or a majority of those things click at one time, you find yourself in a spot where you say the Sixers could do some damage in the playoffs. So when you're trying to balance this scale, it's really, really difficult in the span of 72 hours to watch the best and the worst of the same team over the course of 96 minutes of basketball. And it leaves me, despite being very happy with the outcome today, despite being very annoyed at the outcome on Thursday, it leaves me in a question mark type phase. It leaves me in a, when the Sixers get to the playoffs and they have to beat any particular team four times in seven games, especially in an Eastern Conference that is really good this year, and you're thinking about playing Boston or Milwaukee or Cleveland or Chicago, it gets me to pull back the curtain a little bit and really start to question which Sixers team is going to show up. And so that's really where we begin today's show. And of course, the number to join the conversation is 610-632-0975. Are you comfortable in answering that question today with, what, five games left to play or six games left to play, whatever the case may be? Are you comfortable answering that question, looking forward to the playoffs, which Sixers team is going to show up today? I saw an incredibly dominant force this afternoon. I saw a team that looked like they were sleepwalking through three quarters against Detroit and then went, oh no, we just let another lead slip. And now Detroit, who, as you heard from Tom McGinnis and Devon Givens talk about on the postgame show that evening, Detroit was playing very loose and free, and Doc Rivers even equated it to the Sixers being a one seed in the NCAA tournament. Detroit played very loose, they played very casual, they played very free because they had nothing to lose in that situation. It was the Sixers' game to lose, and they lost it. So looking at what you've seen, almost the very best and the very worst of the 76ers over the course of the last 72 hours, are you comfortable in answering that question on either side? Because right now, I'll be honest with you, I'm not. I have no idea what Sixers team I'm going to see come playoff time. Am I going to see the Sixers that we saw today, the Sixers that we saw against the Milwaukee Bucks the game before the All-Star break, the Sixers that we saw who went on a 10-game winning streak, or not a winning streak, but 10 wins in 12 games? Or are you going to get more of the Sixers that you saw against the Detroit Pistons, against the Miami Heat where they fell flat on their face, against the Brooklyn Nets where they lost by 29? At this point, with five or six games left to play, and I'll get the exact number in a moment, I don't know which Sixers team to expect come postseason time. And while I do expect them, and I've been saying for a while with James Harden, to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, I say that because of the team that's in front of me on paper, the team that I've seen at its best. But quite frankly, after what I've seen over the last 72 hours and what I've seen through the course of the season where they win games where I go, my goodness, they're good. And then they lose games where I go, my goodness, they stink. And so I have to find myself somewhere in between. And with all of this being said, I'm not quite sure which Sixers team I'm going to see come playoff time. So the number to join the conversation is 610-632-0975. A little bit of an extended in the post. Going to get into some Eagles conversation in a second as well. But before we do that, I want to go to our second member of the program, back at our Bala Cynwyd studios, producing today's show. That, of course, would be my partner, Tom Alvord. First and foremost, Tom, good afternoon. Happy Saturday. And what are your thoughts on that opening statement of, I'm not quite sure where this team's at?
Well, Tyler, first of all, good afternoon as well. It's nice to work with you again. It's been a little bit. Obviously didn't hang last week, but it's glad to be back.
Well, and by the way, to those that may not know, Tom did an outstanding job filling in for New dad, Andrew Souchunas, with Anthony on the Midday Show. So kudos to you. Got a chance to listen to you guys a little bit. You did a great job.
Appreciate it, man. Yeah, it was a really fun show. Always a great time working with the cuz. And glad Andrew's back and the baby's healthy. And, you know, I might be feeling a little bit more when the baby does finally get home. But, yeah, a lot of fun. But anyway, today's game, listen, I'm going to give them props. I'm going to bash them when they put up a dreadful performance like they did against the Pistons. Just a couple days ago, and I'll give them props for going out and winning a game that they should have won and the way that they should have won it. They went out, and that is a big-time statement, bounce-back win.
Sure.
Prove-it win. Now, I know it's against Charlotte Hornets, and yes, technically, they are a playoff team. They're most likely going to make the play-in tournament. However, they are the 10 seed right now, just two games over 500, but it's still a big win, and it's a win that was never in doubt after the third quarter started. But I'll be honest, Tyler, I'm not going to put a ton into it. I mean, it's a game where you tie a franchise record for three-pointers made, and it's a game where you score the most points that you've scored in one game in the entire season. So games like this happen, and that's why I have a tough time putting a lot into most regular season games, especially since James Harden has come over here, because the regular season in the NBA, as it is in a lot of sports, is just odd and weird. And sometimes these weird games and these fluky games happen. Now, I am still very angry about the other night, and that was absolutely embarrassing, and it is something that shouldn't have happened. But that's why I have a bit of a tough time putting too much in stock when it comes to these regular season games. And your question about what team am I going to see show up in the playoffs, I have a feeling it's going to be more like today, because let's be honest, James Harden wasn't brought in here to win regular season games.
Sure.
Obviously,
correct.
It helps to win regular season games.
I mean,
and
you and I lauded the trade. We talked about it prior to the trade deadline, where we said anything and everything is on the table in order to make it to get a playmaker like James Harden in the fold.
Yes, correct. Absolutely. So I think once playoff time comes, and not every game is going to be perfect. They're not going to sweep every series. Hell, they may lose in the first or second round. That very well could happen. But when it comes to an effort standpoint, when it comes to the offense looking stagnant and there being no effort on defense, I don't think that's the Sixers team we're going to see in the playoffs, at least the majority of the time.
Well, and that's, I don't disagree with you on that one. And again, you're not going to get, well, come playoff time, I don't care who you're playing, whether it's a team that you believe that you're better than or not, you're not, more than likely, not going to get, 144-114, and where you score 86 points in the second half alone. These games are going to be tighter down the stretch. They're going to be more defensive. Stops are going to be harder to come by. Scores are going to be harder to come by. And, I'm not asking for this team to go out and win by 30 come playoff time. And we've done the show where the 1.2%, the 1 out of 82 games, in and of itself is not a huge deal, talking about one specific game. But the addition of 1.2 and 1.2 and 1.2, and then you subtract 1.2 for a game like today, where everything was all cylinders, all go from the second half on. I need to find some middle ground. And I agree with you that I would hope a team to be closer to what you saw today than what we've seen in the game against Detroit or against Brooklyn or against Miami. But it's been so up and down, so inconsistent this season. And this team is good. We talk about these inconsistencies. We talk about these, this game and that game and this game, and you pick games and you start piling them all together. And this team is still a darn good basketball team who's probably going to get close to 50 wins, if not get to 50 wins, who is very likely going to be a top 4 seed in the Eastern Conference, who is going to have home court advantage at least in the first round of the playoffs. That is where we're at with this team, where our expectations are so high, they're so through the roof, that we are to the point where we are criticizing and critiquing which team is going to show up come playoff time, despite the fact that they've made runs, and despite the fact that this will be, 5 years in a row in which they've made the playoffs now? That's not enough anymore, and that's why we sit here and we have the conversation, which team are we expecting to see? I hate having this conversation after a blowout victory over a good team. Not a great team, but a good team. But the last 72 hours have really made me ponder what is real and what is fiction. And so that's why we begin today's show with that kind of conversation. Which of these two iterations of this team, if you will, are you thinking you're going to get closer to come playoff time? 610-632-0975. Tom, John, get to both of you on the other side, and then it can be you. A couple open phone lines as we get things going today. We'll get started. We roll until 6:30 as we take you up until Flyers pregame with Jason Martinez and Brian Smith. I'm Tyler Zulli. Tom Albert producing back at our Bala Cynwyd Studios. This is 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
4 o'clock hour here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Welcome back to the show. Tyler Zulli, Tom Albert, as we broadcast live from Parks Casino here in Bensalem off the Street Road exit of I-95. If you're in the area, just had a nice chat with a gentleman who was talking about putting some, putting a few bucks down. One or two dollars on the games tonight. Obviously, two crucial games, the final four. Of course, Duke, UNC, and Villanova, and Kansas. You know, before we get back to the phones, Tom, it's kind of wild to me. And, you know, thinking about it, it makes sense. But when you just hear the statement that this is the first time that Duke and UNC have ever played each other in the NCAA tournament, I mean, we're talking about 70-plus years or 60-plus years of NCAA tournament play. And those two schools, for the most part, have been really good. And have been really good at the same time. And both have won national titles, multiple national titles, in that long history of the NCAA tournament. And so, like, immediately you go, there is no way. There's no way that these two teams have never played in the NCAA tournament. But it's true. It's the first time they're ever going to play in the tournament. And it's fitting that it's Coach K's final season.
Yeah, it's almost like a storybook. Like, too unrealistic for
too
even a movie.
True.
Yes, exactly. Coach K's last season, obviously no Roy Williams, which, you know, would have been just like cherry on top storybook ending. Those, you know, two of the best coaches in the history of those two schools, two of the best coaches in the history of college basketball. Hubert Davis is doing a great job with North Carolina. They've
been really good this tournament,
especially
for sure.
In the second half of the season. But yeah, it's almost too good to be true. You're right, Tyler. And it has the making of just a great game we're going to see tonight. I think both of these games are just going to be... Now, it sucks no more for Villanova.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I really thought it was their year, especially with the way they've been playing and how great of a coach Jay Wright is. But that injury, especially with them only really going six deep for the entirety of the tournament and most of the year, unfortunately, it seems like it's going to end now for Nova. But would it surprise me if Jay Wright finds a way to, you know, edge it out and get over Kansas? No, it wouldn't at all, because he's just that good of a coach and it's that good of a program.
So I had a text thread with a couple buddies, and we were talking about the Final Four, and it was right before the Final Four was finished, right? So it was the UNC St. Peter's game, and one of my buddies texted me, and this is along the lines of, you remember this, this conversation always pops its head up, and I think it's such a stupid conversation. Is Villanova a Philly school? Or is Villanova a Philly team? You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah,
and I've said adamantly, like, I'm not a Nova fan. And when I say I'm not a Nova fan, that does not mean I actively root against Nova. I just don't root for Nova either. I think it is a silly statement for anybody to say they're not a Philly school. They are. A large portion of fans flock to Villanova. They're the best of the area schools by far, right? There's a significant drop-off between Villanova's productivity and everybody else, Temple, Drexel, St. Joe's, Penn, you name it, right? LaSalle. It is a Philly school. As somebody who's not a fan of the team, I have no stake in this fight whatsoever. It absolutely is. But the conversation was, the guy said, if UNC wins this game, you're going to get four... I forget what phrase he used, but basically saying there was going to be four blue bloods in the Final Four. And I disagree with that sentiment. Now, I want to know what you think, and I want to know what the callers think as well. When I think of that phrase, like blue bloods, the traditional powerhouses, I think about the teams that have had sustained success for decades. So when you think about those schools, you think about, of course, you think about Duke, and you think about Kentucky, and you think about UNC and UCLA and Kansas, for that matter. Villanova has had the best decade stretch of any college basketball any men's college basketball program in the country. UConn and women's have been better. South Carolina's getting to the point where they've been better. But the point being is, you have an opportunity to see this team play for a third national title in, what, 7 years or whatever the case may be?
6 years.
6 years. The job that they've done at Villanova is by far the best in the country over the last decade. But compare it to the other, you want to call them like the traditional powerhouses that have been doing it for 30, 40 years, I don't think I put them in the same echelon. Do you agree or disagree?
Yeah, I guess historically speaking, it makes sense.
That's what I mean. But like, strictly historically speaking,
I would say it. And like, Villanova is the modern day blue blood. Excuse me, the modern day new dynasty, the new top tier program in college basketball. Like, you wouldn't
I agree with that.
You wouldn't say Gonzaga is a blue blood. Excuse me, I don't know why
they've
I can't say
that
right now.
A title.
Sure, they have been to two Final Fours in the last 4 years. You know what I mean? It's like a new age, a new era of blue blood and top tier schools in college basketball. So I understand your thought process, and it makes sense from a historical standpoint. But I mean, Villanova, like Jay Wright, it's going for his two national championships in the last 5 years. This will be his third in 6 years if he can get it. So,
exactly.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, though. I do.
610-632-0975. I thought it was an interesting conversation. If you have any thoughts on that, that is kind of side to what we're talking about with the Sixers. I'm going to dive into the Eagles in a little bit as well. But just an interesting thought. Think question, if you will. It's not really a there's no right or wrong answer.
Like a little barroom talk, maybe.
Yeah, basically. Would you compare Villanova historically to the other three teams in the NCAA tournament that are left? On a micro scale of the last decade, there's no question that there is not a program in college basketball that has been, again, let me rephrase that, not a program in men's college basketball that has been better than Villanova. But over the course of, like, 40, 50 years, I don't put them in the same conversation as Duke, UNC, and Kansas. 610-632-0975. Let's start things off on the phones. We'll go to Tom next in the Fanatic. What's up, Tom?
Hey, how are you guys?
I'm doing well. Appreciate you making the phone call.
Listen, I just wanted to report on a great day at the Wells Fargo Center today.
Sure, absolutely.
Obviously, the Sixers had a big win. I'm a little concerned, as you are, about the consistency of the team, specifically about James Harden. I know he dished out a lot of assists today, but a lot of turnovers, and he just looks tentative out there.
So here's what I'm going to go with the James Harden conversation is. I don't think you have to be as concerned about lack of scoring in a particular game. And the reason why I don't think you have to be as concerned about lack of scoring in any one particular game is it feels to me, now there's been some games where I go, I wish he would be more aggressive, I wish he would be more assertive and get to the cup more frequently and things like that, but it seems to me that James Harden has a really good understanding and a really good idea of what the Sixers need him to be at any given game, in any particular game that he is on the floor. And today, it seemed to me that Harden had an understanding that he needed to be the facilitator and the playmaker today and create for his teammates. There were a couple of times watching the game where the double would come with like 10 seconds left on the shot clock. He would be able to find Joel Embiid at the high post or the elbow extended. Embiid could turn and face, and then he could either see, I've got a one-on-one matchup, and therefore I'm going to take it to the rim, or I'm going to dish it. So you saw a couple of times an open Niang, an open Thibault, an open Tobias Harris, who was really good today, and we're going to get into him in a little bit as well. So I think that what you see from James Harden when there's, quote, a lack of scoring is more along the lines of him understanding what his need is in any particular game.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned about the turnovers as well, but I understand what you're saying. I guess I'm looking forward to the James Harden of the first five games in a Sixers uniform. I mean, that really got me excited.
So, Harden today, five turnovers for Harden, but there's also four for Embiid and four for Harris. So, I mean, The five is more than you would like, but at the same time, it's not, you know, it's not, you're not talking about nine. But I understand, you know, where you're coming from in this particular instance. I do. But I think that, again, you're going to be able to, or at least I hope we can, understand that the scoring outbursts that we saw from him in Minnesota, in New York, against New York at home, while they were incredible to watch, and you're going to see them in bits and pieces down the stretch and into the playoffs, you're going to see him be that playmaker. Whatever the Sixers need him to be on any given night, that's what he'll be. If they need him to be a scorer and he's not scoring, they're probably not going to win the game. If they need him to be a facilitator and he's not facilitating well and he is turning the ball over, they're probably not going to win the game. But it, like you saw today with the, what did he have, 14, was it 14 assists or something along those lines? It was a 13 assists. You saw that today. That's what the Sixers needed.
Yeah. And if you got a second, I just wanted to report on a phenomenon for the Wells Fargo Center.
Okay.
I was the lucky recipient of 3 Shark Cannon receptions.
How'd that happen?
I don't know. I just, somebody called me Odell Beckham, so I guess I got a future in the NFL. Maybe now, the Eagles are hot.
Yeah, I was going to say, the Eagles do need a number 2 receiver, maybe a number 3 if you want to call Quez Watkins the number 2. So if you're interested, if you can go out and run some routes, we'll see what we can do for you.
Yeah, well, this 55-year-old buddy's not going to do it.
That's all right, thanks, Tom. Thanks so much for the phone call. Appreciate you starting us off today.
How about that? 3?
Yeah, seriously.
And so it was a packed house, too.
It was. Tom. I heard Tom McGinnis say like 21,000-plus. So, Tom, I've got to ask you, if you're in Tom's shoes, not you, Tom, our caller, Tom, and you're catching 3 T-shirts in one game, you got to divvy 2 out, right?
Yeah.
Even if it's to your group, like let's say you went with your family or you took kids or, you know, you're on a date, or you've got to divvy some of them out.
Well, if you're on a date, especially first date, you give all 3 to him or her. That's a power move.
I disagree.
No?
I disagree.
Oh,
you can't
come
do
on.
That.
That's the ultimate power move.
What do you need 3 for?
I don't know. Just that, you know, shows it's that you're good probably, at catching T-shirts at a basketball game.
It's probably the same shirt, right?
Yeah, it probably
is. I think it's probably the same shirt.
And it's all one size.
Out.
They're not, you know, I don't think
right.
they usually
yeah,
divvy
yeah,
out.
Yeah, they're not sizes. Loading the cannon and going, all right, who needs a medium? Medium coming in.
Yeah. No, throw it back if it's not my size. Yeah.
Exchange it in the Sixers store.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's like, the first one I get, like, say you're there with, divvy it out with your group, but if you're there with one other person and you catch 3, you want to keep one to yourself, maybe give it to the person you're with. But after that, I guess you got. But what if you got like somebody at home? I don't know. Like, say your little brother or, you know, your daughter couldn't make it, but you know they would like it. So I don't know. It's an interesting conversation.
See, it's a tough conversation to have, because especially it's like the foul ball conversation. Like, if you're around children and you catch a foul ball, or if you're around kids and you catch a T-shirt out of the cannon, I got to be honest with you, Tom, there is almost an obligation to give that item to the child that you see.
Yeah, and everyone kind of looks at you weird if you don't do it.
Right.
But if I'm saving it for my kid at home or something?
I'm not,
you know?
Nah, see, I'm not talking about like climbing the seats and being like 4 rows up, be like, hey, there's a kid up there, let me toss it to him.
Yeah.
I'm talking about like in your immediate section, you catch it and you go, you do a little, you do a head turn left, a head turn right, maybe look directly behind you. If there is a kid in the vicinity, you give the child that item. That's just like overarching. That's my rule.
That's fair. Yeah.
Like a T-shirt's a little bit different, but like the foul ball thing or a home run ball, unless it's Barry Bonds' 715th home run.
Yeah, if you're giving that away, that's just not a smart
move.
Yeah,
that's silly. But like, if
or
I'm
Nick
catching,
Castellanos' first home run as a Philly, maybe can I keep that one?
If I'm catching a home run off the bat of, you know, Camargo in a pinch hit spot where the Phillies are down 6 in June, what am I going to do?
Yeah, no. 100%. The only way is if you have like a kid at home. If you're there with your daughter, or no, if you and your buddy are there and your son's at home, you know, he couldn't make it, a little guy, then I would understand it. But yeah, if you're just keeping it a John Camargo, Johan Camargo. Yeah, sorry about that. Johan Camargo foul ball just to keep it, then yeah, it's not really a great move.
It's here's the thing too. It's, you know, the public image thing. Like, you could swear up and down, no, I swear I got, my son's at home, I'm going to give
him. Yeah, sure you do, buddy.
Right, exactly. Because anybody could say, I don't have any kids. You don't have any kids. If we were to go to the game, like you and I, let's say you and I caught a Saturday afternoon game, and boom, foul ball comes my way. I catch it. I go, no, I swear. I swear it's from my child at home. They're, you know, of course you are.
Yeah, sounds about right.
So, same thing. Like, you've got to divvy those things up. All right, let's go to John in Blue Belt next in the Fanatic. What's up, John? John.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, John, how are you?
Doing good. So I just want to touch on the Sixers.
Sure.
I hopped in the car. I called the beginning of your show, and I do agree that there's sometimes where the offense looks a little stagnant and the effort on defense is a little lacking. But the main thing that happened today was the bench showed up. The starters, you know, did what they always do. It depends on who does it, but they're always in that mid-90s range for the starters. But the
sure.
bench showed up, and I think
right.
they scored 49 points today.
And, you know, obviously that has something to do with the fact that it was a blowout in the fourth quarter. They scored all the points in the final 5 minutes of the game or whatever it was. So that's going to add to it. But you're correct. You're not wrong. It's not like they came in and scored 49 points in the last 6 minutes of the game, right? I thought George Niang was better today. He's really struggled over the last couple of games. I thought George Niang was better today. I thought Shake Milton was better today.
Yeah.
So your point stands for sure.
Yeah, so that's where I think, as far as what the Sixers go in the postseason, as I said, you can almost, it's kind of weird to say, but you can almost, you know, count the starters to put in that, you know, mid-90s points. And if the bench shows up and scores us 12 points like they have, we're going to lose that game.
Yeah, I mean, that's if you're thinking about averages, right, what the five starters average per game, Joel Embiid averages 30, James Harden somewhere in like the 22 range, I think, so that gets you to 52 already. Then you're going to get 17 from Maxey and 17 from Harris. And this is just their averages. 17 from Maxey and 17 from Harris. That gets you to 86. And then I think Matisse Thybulle's averaging just shy of 6. So if you just take their averages per game, you're talking about 92 points from the starters. But if you're only getting, you're right, if you're only getting, what they get for against Detroit, 7 or 9?
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about 101 points. That's not enough to win a basketball game.
Yeah, and then there was those two back-to-back games where I think they scored, you know, 12, 13 points, and stuff like that is just not going to cut it.
I don't disagree. I don't want to say that this is entirely on the bench because, you know, benches shorten come playoff time. Joel Embiid's going to play close to 40 minutes. James Harden's going to play 35. Tyrese Maxey's going to play close to 40. Tobias is going to play close to 40. Like, you're not going to have to think about, well, man, is you're going to need something from Furkan Korkmaz or from Shake Milton as much as you do in the regular season. But your theory, your thought in theory is very true, where if you're getting 7 and the other team, now granted, Detroit's bench scored a ton of points the other night, but if you're getting 7, but you're getting outscored, I don't know, let's even go modest and we'll say like 18-7. Your bench gets outscored 18-7. You're going to need your starters then, if you're going to get 92 from them, to outscore the other team's starters like 92-80. And that's going to be difficult to do on a consistent basis.
And then also, when it comes to catching T-shirts,
yes,
I'm keeping all three of them.
Really?
Yeah, because I feel like just in general, people just expect free stuff. And when it comes to baseballs, when it comes, like, if I'm with a group of people, I will probably give them out to the group that I'm with.
Okay.
But besides that, yeah, I'm not looking around to see if somebody else wants a T-shirt.
Not even a kid?
See, that's the thing is, I, just like you guys were, I'm saying, people won't ever believe this, but I have 3 kids of my
sure.
own.
Sure. No, I listen, more times than not, if you say, like, hey, I've got the kids at home, you're not lying about that. I don't want to make it sound like, John, you're like, oh, wow, you're lying to me. You probably don't have any kids. You just want, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to make it sound like that. But it's a tough sell when the kids aren't with you.
Yeah, but, like, that just comes down to if you really care about what other people think of you or not, right?
That's fair.
But And, like, none of those T-shirts that I ever shot out into the crowd would ever fit me. I'm 6'5", 300 pounds. I wear 3X everything. I know that they're not shooting those 3X T-shirts out, but it doesn't matter. If you want something, you work for it.
All right. Fair enough, John. Thanks so much for the phone call. Really appreciate it today. 610-632.
I like it.
0975. I have no issue with you working for what you want, right? Like, in your job, Tom, you and I are in a, like, this is not a hot take. This is not a, oh my gosh, how could he say this? You and I are in a very cutthroat industry. It's just, it is what it is, right? Like, you make friends and you also want their job at the same time. Like, that's just kind of how these things work. So I have no issue with fighting for what I want and making myself like appeasable to the listeners, to our bosses, to, you know, whoever, to get me where, you know, that next step.
Absolutely.
It's different, I think, in a situation like that, where you're trying to get an advancement in your career, where you want to get more money, you want to get more, benefits, and whatever the case may be, right? It is much more acceptable for me to have that thought process in that angle than it would be a foul ball or a T-shirt at a basketball game.
And also, real quick, Tom, our first caller, did call back and said that he gave all three away.
See, I respect that. I would have kept one, and maybe that's even too shallow, but I super respect giving all three away. I would have given two away. I would have kept one for myself or, like, my group if I was with multiple people and given two away. Now, granted, if I'm with, like, let's say I'm with, maybe we do a Fanatic evening, right? And it's me and you and Connor, and we got a couple of different Matt with us. We got a bunch of different people, and I catch three of them. Now, I'd probably give one to you and one to Connor or one to Matt or whatever the case may be. But if it's just like, I don't know, like I said, me and you go to a Tuesday afternoon game. We're just hanging out. We both have off. And I catch three foul balls. I probably am not going to keep any of them, especially if there's kids around. 610-632-0975 is the number to join the conversation. I know we got off on a little bit of a side topic there. It was just an interesting conversation that Tom brought up organically. So maybe that is our side topic today, if you will. If you're at an event and you're like Tom, not our producer Tom, but our caller Tom, who happened to catch three T-shirts from the T-shirt cannon at the Sixers game today, how many are you keeping? How many are you giving away? Where do you sit on that conversation? 610-632-0975. Eric in South Philly, you'll be the first one up. Get into the Villanova conversation a little bit. Dave in Downingtown will be next. And then it can be you. And again, the number to join the show is 610-632-0975. I'm Tyler Zulli, Tom Alvord producing the show back at our Balakinwood Studios. We are broadcasting live from Parks Casino here in Bensalem off the Street Road exit of I-95. Come on down, hang out with us, and say hello. We're here until 6:30 right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
You guys know I've been telling you about this for a while, but we're here on location today at
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.